On the recent retreat in Alice Springs, one of the participants tried an experiment. At the top of the rise, behind campfire in the heart, we were shown some dead-looking foliage, brown and shriveled. We were told that after it rains, what looks dead comes alive. The participant took one bit of dead, shriveled foliage back to campfire in the heart, where she soaked it in water. After 2 days or so, it was transformed. It was vibrant, green, unfurled, alive. Curiosity spurred wonder at what seemed a miracle. We have just heard of Jesus hanging on a cross dying, being murdered by the state alongside two others. This does not seem a promising start for exploring the greening. Viriditas, the greening power of God, is a word used by Hildegard of Bingen, meaning vitality, fecundity, lushness, verdure, or growth. And here we are with three dying men and their witnesses. There's a lot of mocking and putting down. Three men are dying, and those in the crowd, leaders and soldiers and spectators, distance themselves with derision and comic relief. Some, no doubt, mourn quietly. The leaders and then the soldiers yell out something like, "You say you are the Son of God, well, prove it. Do something about it." We don't quite believe it, but part of us hopes there will be a spectacle, they think. You can hear the echoes through the crowd. It is a most uncomfortable scene. Then one of the dying men, a man being crucified beside Jesus, joins in the rhetoric. "Come on, man, get on with it. Get us out of here." Jesus is silent. He has walked his path. He has asked forgiveness for them. I see no rancor, no judgment, only understanding and compassion. In his life, he has stood up to injustice. He has healed those in need. He has challenged authority. And now, here, he's dying. The inevitable consequence of his actions, of his radical love, you might say. Linda Peep writes, "Crucifixion was not an execution method for common criminals. It was reserved for enemies of the state. Crucifixion was saved for people the Roman Empire wanted to make examples of, people who had committed crimes like insurrection, civil disobedience, treason. That's why Jesus was crucified." Not a pretty picture of God or the Son of God, dying accused. It might lead us to despair. It is the end, we might think. It's all been a waste of time, we might conclude. Then, the other bloke up there, also dying, challenges the man on the cross beside Jesus. "What are you going on about? We deserve to be up here. We're dying, man. This one, as far as I can see, didn't do anything wrong. He stood up for justice and peace and love and truth. He unsettled the powers that be." This man turns, with sweat running down his face and gritted teeth from the pain, and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man seems to get it, this greening power, life force, in his last moments of life, he turns to the one connected to the divine and says something like, "I'm with you, Jesus. I want to be part of this greening." And Jesus says, "Yes, we're in this together. Today you'll be with me in paradise, the Garden of Eden, you'll see." Viktor Frankl, with the wisdom of a concentration camp survivor, muses, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Now, with these thoughts and this story in mind, we turn to Viriditas, to spring and greening. Spring is not my favourite season. I prefer autumn, season of mist and mellow fruitfulness. Spring is too bright, too young and tender and fragile, but not this year. This year it feels very dull and grey and green, so green. Someone said to me, "Things keep growing because of all the rain and we can't control them." There is growth coming out of greyness. The greening comes. And it also comes in our reading. It happens on the cross, on the way to death. Christine Wolters-Paintner associates the season of spring with mornings and breathing in and the east. Whatever time it is in your life, there is always, while you are alive, an in-breath. Each morning, each spring, each in-breath, there are possibilities as we experience this season of the year, this season of our lives, and what it is to breathe in, to awaken each day, to open to the morning sun, even when we're dying. One of the retreatants at Mittagong offered a symbol of her experience. "It chose me. Leaves from the well-manicured, coiffured Fetinia in different stages of their lifespan. Some were nibbled, dry, and one like polished burgundy leather. Then there were tender fresh leaves holding unopened buds, the interweaving of stages in the lifestyle, life cycle, all encouraging for obvious reasons. In this spring in the southern hemisphere, in this La Nina weather pattern, there is greening, there is growth in abundance, and the bumper crops are spoilt by too much rain, and the harvesters cannot get into the fields. There is flooding, and we are reminded that things are awry. And some are thrilled by the replenishment of the river systems. There is hope and growth. And there is fear and loss." What season are you in at the moment? Some in this community who have recently turned 80 see this as the best season of their lives, the greening. James Finley shares his thoughts on spiritual maturity, or viriditas, as a form of ripening. He says, "As a person ripens in unsayable intimacies in God, they ripen in a paradoxical wisdom. They come to understand God as a presence that protects us from nothing, even as God unexplainably sustains us in all things. This is the mystery of the cross that reveals whatever it means that God watches over us. It does not mean that God prevents the tragic thing, the cruel thing, the unfair thing from happening. Rather, it means that God is intimately hidden as a kind of profound, tender sweetness that flows and carries us along in the intimate depths of the tragic thing itself, and will continue to do so in every moment of our lives, up to and through death and beyond. As fruit ripens, it fulfills itself in reaching its full potential to nurture us and give us pleasure. We might say that as fruit ripens, it fulfills itself in giving itself to us. In a similar way, we do not undergo the transformative process of ripening for ourselves alone, but rather that our transformed presence might be a source of nurture to others. And Jesus responds, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Today, you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness and inclusion, they are the only words Jesus spoke. I do wonder, though, why did one man on the cross get it and the other not? Was it to do with their personalities, their histories, the choices they made during their lives? They were both dying for being brave or stupid or seditious, standing up to an oppressive regime. Why this moment and not before? Was it Jesus' silence? Or was it those words of forgiveness that did it? We will never know, but the questions hang there. If it was me there, which part would I take? One on the left or one on the right? Where do you place yourself? Yes, notice you are not judged, but seen with the eyes of compassion and forgiveness. And if you are willing to lift your eyes a little, you are invited into the greening. A poem by Ellen Bass. The thing is, to love life, to love it even when you have no stomach for it, and everything you've held dear crumbles like burnt paper in your hands, your throat filled with the silt of it. When grief sits with you, its tropical heat thickening the air, heavy as water, more fit for gills than lungs. When grief weights you like your own flesh, only more of it, an obesity of grief, you think, how can a body withstand this? Then you hold life like a face between your palms, a plain face, no charming smile, no violet eyes. And you say, yes, I will take you. I will love you again.